And we're holding on Kufiyud Amud Beis, the second line of the widest lines. We said in the Mishnah, in this Mishnah and the previous one, we talk about if one member of a couple wants to move from one place to another and the other one doesn't, what are the dinim? And in our Mishnah, we said that if one of them wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, then they can force a move, but not from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, and vice versa within Eretz Yisrael itself to Yerushalayim or away from it. So the Gemara goes into details about it. Turn it up on, we learn in a Braisa. If the husband wants to make aliyah and move to Eretz Yisrael, and she says no, then we force her to, she would tell her, your husband wants, therefore you have to go along with him. And if she doesn't want to take the ksuba, then he can divorce her without paying her ksuba. On the other hand, he had met us lalas, for who am shaloi lalas, if she wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, and he doesn't, kofin oisei lalas, we do also force him to go, because going to Eretz Yisrael is a big thing, and therefore we should make him do it. The imlab, and if he doesn't want to yotze v'yitn ksuba, then it's still grounds for divorce, but in that case, he would have to pay her ksuba, because in that case, it's not her fault that there's a problem over here, because she's doing the right thing. Continues the Braisa. If she wants to leave Eretz Yisrael and he doesn't want to, we force her to not go because her husband wants to stay in Eretz Yisrael. And if not, then she can be divorced without ksuba because again it's her fault for wanting to leave. And if he wants to leave and she doesn't, then we force him not to leave. And if he doesn't want to, he wants to leave anyway. Then he divorces her and gives her a ksuba. So that's what when the Mishnah says, that's the kind of thing it means.
Even if it's for reason of Parnasa or Limud HaTorah?
The Pashtus, yes. I mean, since the Gemara is not making that distinction. However, because if it weren't for that, then anyway, forget about that. If it weren't for such reasons, forget about whether we force her or don't force her. He himself would, or she herself would be also to leave if it wasn't for a valid reason. With that said, though, first of all, Tosfos brings over here from Rabbeinu Chaim that nowadays it may not be such a mitzvah. First of all, Tosfos says nowadays it's dangerous, at least Tosfos at times, the roads were dangerous, it was really hazardous to go to Eretz Yisrael, so maybe this halacha is not in effect. And furthermore, Rabbeinu Chaim says in Tosfos, the fact is there are many mitzvahs of Tluyos Va'aretz, many, many things that apply specifically in Eretz Yisrael, where we are not able to do. We're not able to make sure to be careful of them, and therefore maybe a person is better not going to Eretz Yisrael. There is a good deal of discussion about that, and does that still apply nowadays when in fact those mitzvahs at Tluyos Va'aretz are, for a variety of reasons, many much easier to keep. So there's a good deal of discussion about that. There are also factors into that. The chlal, is settling Eretz Yisrael actually considered one of the 613 mitzvahs? And if it is it still in effect in this time, in our times, when there's no Beis Hamikdash? So, for example, the Rambam doesn't list it as one of the 613 mitzvahs, but he does write in detail in Yad HaChazaka about, he brings this and the various Gemaras that we're going to have you throughout the sugya about the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, which seems to imply that he holds it applies even nowadays. But Ramban actually counts it as one of the 613 mitzvahs, but then also you have the discussion, does that mean that he holds that it's also applicable nowadays, or does he hold that it's like the other mitzvahs that are applicable only loss of love? Anyway.
Well, the fact is that it's very unlikely, it's almost impossible that the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt if there are absolutely no Jews in Eretz Yisrael.
There's no question that individual Jews can and do and always have gone to move to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But the question of whether there's a mitzvah to do it nowadays is another matter. And besides which, anyway, you know, listen, when the Rambam talks about Mashiach, he says, "Ubonu mikdash b'mekayim v'yikabetz l'dchei Yisrael," he'll rebuild the Beis Hamikdash and gather the dispersed Jewish people. So that being the case, maybe it's going to be in that order. But in any case, I mean, you know, nowadays, Baruch Hashem, you have millions of Jews living in Israel. We'll talk about that later. I mean, the truth is, I should mention, we have a huge amount of ground to cover today. We haven't really got time to go and discuss every point in detail. But the bottom line is, there are definitely respectable opinions of Rishonim, including this Tosfos over here, who says that it's not specifically a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, and therefore that these dinim that we're talking about one member of the couple wanting to go to Eretz Yisrael and the other not, are those in effect or not? Not everybody agrees that it is. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Nosa Isha Chola, we said in the Mishnah that we talked about various cases where a couple gets married in one place and divorced in a different place, and what coinage is used to pay the ksuba. We said the ksuba, you write in it, there's 100 or 200 zuz, but you don't specify what kind of zuz, and they had in Eretz Yisrael. They had one kind of zuzim, and in Kaputkia, a country not far from Eretz Yisrael, whether it's Turkey, whether it's Crete, whatever it is, they had heavier coins. So which one does he have to give? So the Mishnah had said in 3 out of the 4 cases he can get away with paying Mois Eretz Yisrael with a cheaper, which are cheaper, only if the marriage and the divorce were both in Kaputkia. And then we would say he has to pay with Kaputkia coins. On the other hand, Rav Shimon Gamliel, we said, says that if, wherever the marriage took place is what kind of coins he has to do. So the Gemara asks on the Tana Kama, "Ho gufa kasha?" You seem to have a contradiction in what the Tana Kama is saying. Katani nosi isha Eretz Yisrael v'gerusha v'kaputkia nosin lami mois Eretz Yisrael. You're saying that if the marriage was in Eretz Yisrael, then even though the divorce was in Kaputkia, he gives her Eretz Yisrael money, which is smaller, which is cheaper. Alma basa shibud azmanan, showing that according to the Tana Kama, we go according to where the shibud took place. Since they got married in Eretz Yisrael, then we can hold him only to that. A mistake, but then look at the next part of the Mishnah. Nosa isha v'kaputki of gerush of Eretz Yisrael, nosin lami mois Eretz Yisrael. We say if the marriage was in Kaputki or the divorce was in Eretz Yisrael, we can also give her Eretz Yisrael money. Alma bosa guvaina azlanan. Which means that we go according to where it's collected, since the collection is taking place in Eretz Yisrael, then those are the kinds of coins he has to give. So what is it? Do we go according to the beginning when he took on the shibud, or the end? Kufiyur domen beis. So Rabbah says, here we have an example of one of the kulis regarding the ksuba that the Chacham said, we're not going to hold him to there are various things that the Chacham will make on the ksuba. This is one of them that we say that the husband does not have to pay the higher value coins. He can get away with paying the lower value coins, whichever one is less, the place where the marriage took place or the place where the divorce takes place. Because the Tanakama holds that the Ksuba is only Dirabbanan, and therefore we can be made on it. On the other hand, we said in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon Gamliel, so Omer Nois Lami Mois Kaputkia. Reb Shimon Gamliel says he has to give her Kaputkia money in that case where the marriage took place in Kaputkia. Kasuba Ksuba Daraisa, namely because he holds the Ksuba as Daraisa, and therefore, as usual, we would have to, like with any Shtar Chov, we would have to go according to where the Shibud took place. This matter of whether the Ksuba is Daraisa or Dirabbanan is Negea la halacha, even nowadays, Sfardim and Ashkenazim, there's machloikas between the poskim, who the halacha is like, and the result is that an Ashkenazic ksuba, the result is that the value of an Ashkenazic ksuba is generally more than the parallel Sfardic one, because in particular, we talked about earlier in the Masechta, there's aside from we're talking about over here, coins of Eretz Yisrael versus coins of Kaputkia, aside from that, we talked about earlier in the Masechta, there's Kesef Tzuri and Kesef Medina, those coins of Tzur in the north of Eretz Yisrael that were pure silver or almost pure silver, and then you had the kind of coinage they had in Eretz Yisrael in those times where only 1/8 of it was silver and the rest copper. If you say that the Ksuba is Daraisa, then you need to have, then the 200 Zuz or the 100 Zuz have to be Kesef Tzuri. If you say it's Dirabbanan, they can be Kesef Medina. The Gemara elsewhere establishes that point that there's a difference between Daraisa and Dirabbanan. Therefore, it comes out that an Ashkenazic Ksuba would actually be worth 8 times as much as a Sfardic Ksuba. The Ikka Ksuba, that is. We're, of course, not getting into the Tosfos and the Nedunya and all that. But that's the difference between the Tana Kama and the Shimon Gamliel. Incidentally, there are places in Chassidus, there's places in the writings of Rav Levi Yitzchak and a Rishima of the Rebbe that talk about the deeper idea that Kaputkia, Eretz Yisrael represents Malchus, Kaputkia represents Yisoid, and since Yisoid is higher than Malchus, therefore you wind up with the physical thing that you see here, that Kaputkia's money is heavier and more expensive than that of Eretz Yisrael. And they talk about the significance of the name, etc. As I said yesterday, it's actually, you have it in this week's parasha, because when it lists the 70 nations, one of them is Kaftodim, and the translation, and then Targum Onkelos translates it as Kaput Koi. Okay. So since we're talking, so now
so,
we
say, so, so, So that would mean that Eretz Yisrael, in a way, shows a Yerida Begashmius, an Aliyah Baruchnius, instead of just an Aliyah Baruchnius.
I guess so, yeah. So the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. Mosi Shtar Choyv Achaveira. If a person takes out a Shtar Choyv against somebody else, Reuven has a Shtar Choyv that says that Shimon owes him money. Kosev by Bavel. So if it says that the loan was taken out in Bavel, Magbeu Mivoyz Bavel. Then when he pays him, he has to pay him in Bavel money, because then we go according to where the Shibur took place. Kosev by Eretz Yisrael, Magbeu Mivoyz Eretz Yisrael. And if it says that the loan was taken out in Eretz Yisrael, then he has to pay Eretz Yisrael money. Kosev by Stam, what if it doesn't say anything? It doesn't say where the loan took place. Well, then, if he brings it out in Bavel, then he has to pay him with Bavel money. And if he brings it out in Eretz Yisrael, then he has to pay him in Eretz Yisrael money. Because we assume that that's where we either go, since it doesn't say one thing or the other in the shtar, then we just go according to where it's collected. Or Meiri gives a svara that probably they're located now where they were located before. If he would bring a raya to the contrary, then fine, we would say it would be different. Cost of a kesef stam, continues the braisa. If the shtar just says money without saying what kind of coin, so if it says zuzim, of course, then he owes a certain number of zuzim. What if it just says kesef without specifying? Keep in mind, the word kesef can mean money and can also mean silver. So mashi yutza loiva magbeu. So whatever the loiva wants to give the malva, he can give him masha inkin. But now, so that, because after all, it only said kesef stam. And the braisa says, which means, in other words, Rashi says he doesn't even have to give him zuzim, he can even give him isorim, which are a smaller coin, a smaller denomination. So the Braisa says masha inkin b'ksuba. Now it's not like that with ksuba. So we have to ask, aheya, what part of the Braisa is that last statement masha inkin b'ksuba referring to? It refers to the reisha where we said that it depends whether the shtar choiv says bavel or Eretz Yisrael, what kind of coins you give him. La puki midrav Shem Gamil, dama ksuba daraisa. So the braisa wants to tell us not like Shem Gamil, who says ksuba daraisa, and according to him, a ksuba is exactly like any other shtar choiv in Shem Gamil's view. The same way as we said about Kaputkia and Eretz Yisrael, the same way as we have a Shtar Choyv that was brought out in Bavel, then he has to give him Bavel coins, and in Eretz Yisrael, or if it's written, but not brought out, if it's written in it, Bavel, then he has to give him Bavel coins. If it's written in Eretz Yisrael, he has to give him Eretz Yisrael coins, and Reb Shimon Gamliel says the same thing as far as Ksuba. So now the Tana of the Braisa is saying that no, you don't do like that. Ksuba, we said we call it Ksuba. You go according to the more lenient one for the husband, like we said before.
Because
he holds that Zerman. Right. Then we said, on the other hand, the Braisa said, Kosev Kesef Stan Mashiyutza Loiva Magbehu. So if it just said Kesef, then the Loiva can give him whatever kind of coins he wants. So the question is, why daf coins? The Emanaska. Maybe he doesn't have to give him coins at all. Maybe he can give him pieces of silver. And the answer is, Amar Abalaz, Dichtibbe Matbeya. Yeah, but we're talking about that it did say kesef, but it also said the word matbeya, which clearly means coins. It's true, kesef can mean silver, and so it can mean pieces, random bars of silver, but matbeya means that it has to actually be a coin. Which Tosfos points out, naska would actually be worth more than coins, and the question is, maybe we force him to give him that, and the answer is no. Since it says coins, then it means it's some kind of coins. So the question is, ve'ema priti. Fine, but Rashi had said before that we can go all the way down to an iser. An iser is 8 prutis. How do we know? Maybe he can give him prutis. If he's just saying that he has to give him matbeya, then a pruta is also a coin. Amar Papa, priti the kaspa le'avi inch. True, but people don't make silver pennies, silver prutis. Therefore, since it did say kesef, and the word kesef, the word kesef, after all, does mean silver, then it has to mean, it can mean the lowest denomination silver coin, but it still has to mean a coin made out of silver, not prutas, which are made out of copper. Okay. So that's that. Now, from here through the rest of the Masechta, we're going to have a gadta about Eretz Yisrael. Since we talk about moving to Eretz Yisrael versus moving away from it, and moving to Yerushalayim versus moving away from it, so now we're going to get into a long discussion about the milus of living in Eretz Yisrael and various other related topics. Like most thoughts of Tan Rabbanon, Lo Olam Yadur Adam Be'Eretz Yisrael, Afilu Be'ir Sheruba Oivik Echadim. A person should always live in Eretz Yisrael, even if he's living in a city that's mostly goyim. He shouldn't live in Chutz Laretz, even in a city that's majority Jewish. Which, by the way, when we said before about Nova Hayofa and Nova Hara that we learned yesterday about a good neighborhood, a bad neighborhood, it includes that point as well. Include Rishonim bring that it includes that point as well, that we're talking about that within outside Eretz Yisrael, or within Eretz Yisrael, to move from one region to another, you can't force a move from a bad place where there are mostly Jews from a good place where there are mostly Jews to a bad one where there are mostly Goyim, but you could the other way around. But going from Chutzpah to Eretz Yisrael, we said Afilumi Nova Yofel, the Nova Hara, it includes that point as well, even if you move into a city that's majority Goyim, right? Because anyone who lives in Eretz Yisrael, it seems as though he has a God. Anybody who lives in Chutz Laaretz, it's as if he doesn't have a God. As the pasuk says, Losis lachem es eretz Kanaan, to give you the land of Canaan, Hashem says, Lies lachem le'elakim, to be a God for you. So therefore, that implies that a person is not being given Eretz Kanaan, then chas v'shalom.
And you said it depends on the Mashiach's
element. One second. So we did talk about before that maybe the mitzvah of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael as such doesn't apply nowadays. We brought from Rabbi Nachaim and Tosfos. There are many mitzvahs. It's hard to do. But yeah, we're still saying, so why that should be, what the connection is between living in Eretz Yisrael and having a God or not. So there's a lot of points about it. There's the idea that in Chutz La'aretz, we have in these days Tanya, the Hashpah is being brought down through the 70 Sorim, through the Sorim of the respective lands, whereas in Eretz Yisrael, you get directly from Hashem, and therefore that's on a higher level. Talks about Chassidus, the idea that Eretz Yisrael is Malchus of Atzilus and Bria, whereas in Chutz La'aretz, you only have, like it says in these days Tanya, it's Melubash in Malchus of Yitzira and Asiya, and therefore it's on a lower level, and you don't have the direct connection to Hashem. With that said, though, there's something from the Maharal's brother, wrote a sefer called Derech Chaim. He says that Hador over here means a person who lives there, like he lives there, like, okay, I'll live in Golos. I don't care about Eretz Yisrael. I'm not looking forward to Mashiach or whatever. That's when we're saying that Joy Mekimi and Tren Levaka. A person who lives in Chutz La'aretz and is yearning for Mashiach constantly and wants to be there as soon as possible, we're not necessarily talking about such a person. Also worth mentioning, as we go through the sugya, the Me'iri has a point about it. The Me'iri has a point that he says that actually, and we're going to go through, we're going to talk soon about the Mila of Bavel. He says any place where there's lots of Torah and Yiras Shemayim is the equivalent of Eretz Yisrael for this kind of thing. So you shouldn't think, in other words, the Me'iri is saying that every single, most of 99% of Jews throughout all the ages lived in Chutz La'aretz out of necessity. Don't think during the Kamisha and Lelaka, they lived in places where there was Torah, Vayira, and so forth, and therefore, they're ever talking about. This feeds into the Machda Eretz Yisrael. Exactly. The Me'iri, in effect, is hinting at this idea of Machda Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. So the Gemara asks, B'chol she'ein ador ba'aretz ein lo elaka? So what are you telling me? If a person doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if he doesn't have a God, well, how can you say that? So Ella loy malach. No, what it means is rather kol ador b'chutz la'aretz. Person lives outside Eretz Yisrael, or like we said, hador. Maybe specifically, like he considers I'm settled here, and this is it. Ki ilu oyvid avodis b'chavim. Then it's as if he's worshiping avodah zarah. V'chein b'David hu. I mean, we find such an expression by David, where he's complaining to Shaul that people are harassing me and saying lashon hara about me to you and so forth. And he says ki gershuni hayom yestapeach b'nachlas Hashem. They've thrown me out today. From being joined to the Nachla of Hashem, and they're telling me, go worship other gods. Whoever told David to go worship other gods, as bad as they said about him, they never told him such a thing. But this is what it means. So in other words, David is saying to Shaul, you're chasing me all over the place. People like Doeg are saying lashon hara to you about me. The result is I'm being forced to leave Eretz Yisrael and live in Chutz La'aretz. And the result is that it's as if I'm being told, because again, when a person is living outside Eretz Yisrael, then it's like he's in that situation.
So
there were brief times when he had to leave Eretz Yisrael during that period. At one point he was in Moab, and another he actually had to tell him, leave there and come back to Eretz Yisrael. Now, right after this, he went away to the land of the Plishtim, which, okay, is technically part of Eretz Yisrael, but still. More on this topic, the Gemara says, Reb Zera have a komishtamit minei of Yehuda. Reb Zera was trying to evade Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda was Reb Zera's Rebbe, and Reb Zera wanted to borrow the Mesach for Eretz Yisrael. Reb Zera wanted to move from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and he knew, as we're going to say, that Reb Yehuda doesn't approve of that, so he was trying to evade him. He didn't want to actually go and appear in front of Reb Yehuda, because then he might end up having to tell Reb Yehuda that he plans to move to Eretz Yisrael, and Reb Yehuda would tell him not to. Reb Yehuda was his Rebbe. Reb Yehuda says, in fact, that if a person moves from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, he's being over on a mitzvah saseh. Shenemah, they have a pasuk in Yirmiyah where Hashem says, Bavela yuvahu, they will be brought to Babel, the Shama Yiyu, and they will remain there, ad yoyim pokti oisam na'um Hashem, until the day when I remember them and say that it's time for them to leave, na'um Hashem, so says Hashem. So Rabbi Yehuda says, on that basis, once we Jewish people are in Babel, then we have to stay over
here.
Until we're called. Tosfos points out that pasuk is talking about after the Churban Bayis Rishon. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda says apparently the pasuk is makbid about Bayis Sheni as well. Now Rashi further on in the sugya over here explains that Babel had great yeshivas and therefore it's not appropriate to leave it. On the other hand, the Rambam, when the Rambam brings this halacha as well, he doesn't say any such thing. There's a sicha in Chelik Yud Ches where the Rebbe analyzes this whole matter in detail and says the vote is, according to Rashi, it would come out, the reason why to stay in Babel is because of the yeshivas, and because the Gemara elsewhere mentions that the Shechina rests in Babel more than other places, implying that when those factors don't exist, when you don't have great yeshivas in Babel, and the Shechina is not resting there, you don't have to hate, you can leave Babel and move anywhere. On the other hand, the Rambam not only brings this halacha without mentioning that detail, he even says you're not allowed to move from Babel to Shar Arotzis, to other lands. And the Kesef Mishnah says, the Rambam apparently means by that even Eretz Yisrael, like Rabbi Yehuda and the Gemara over here, not like Reb Zera. So the Rebbe explains that the Rambam's Shitta essentially is that since Babel was set aside as the place for the Jewish people to be in Golus, then therefore that becomes the place that we have to remain until Hashem says otherwise. So that was Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Once Hashem had determined this is going to be the place of the Jewish people's galus, then you don't have a right to leave there and move someplace else. So for Reb Zera, what does Reb Zera answer to that? He says, "I will be klei sharis." That pasuk is not talking about the Jewish people. You look at the context of that pasuk; it's talking about the klei sharis of the Beis Mikdash, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken some of them during Golus Yechoniah and took the rest of them during Golus Tidkiyahu 11 years later when the Beis Mikdash was destroyed. And Yahu is saying, don't think those are false Nevi'im who are claiming that the ones that he took the first time around are being brought back soon. No, they're not going to be brought back so soon. They're going to remain in Babel until I say so, says Hashem. So nothing about the people. Rav Yehuda, so Rav Yehuda, what is the answer to that? He says it's true. So the Pasuk Bavela Yuvol was talking about the Kalim. But Ksiv Krahrina, you have a different Pasuk in Shir Hashirim. I have made you swear daughters of Yerushalayim, where daughters of Yerushalayim refers to the Jewish people, because we're all children of Yerushalayim, like we learned earlier in the Sefer, Ish v'ish yulad ba. With the deer, or with the gazelles of the field, which the Gemara is going to explain soon in a few lines, means that we're not, that there's a shvua, that there are certain shvuas in effect, that we're not just allowed to break the, not just allowed to break down Golos and move en masse to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what it means. Therefore, so fine. If it were only for that pasuk, it would mean only if you have a huge movement of Jews. But because also putting that together with the pasuk Bavela Yuhu, which fine, that pasuk is talking about the Klei Sharis, but still putting them together, we see that there's an issur on individuals as well, says Rabbi Yehuda. Rab Zera answers to that. No, Ahu Shalayalu Yisrael Bachoima. That means that the Jewish people shouldn't ascend like a wall, like have hundreds of thousands of millions come all at once and burst through. We're going to go invade Eretz Yisrael and take it back over. Fine, that we can't do. But for individuals to go, like me, Rab Zera, what's the problem? Rav Yehuda would answer to that, Hishbaiti Achrinoksiv. The fact is, there's another place in Shreshirim where it also says Hishbaiti. So therefore, that applies to individuals as well. V'Rav Zera, what does Rav Zera in turn answer to that? He says, Ahumi Boila L'chid Rav Yosi Bev Chanina. He says, you need that to teach us what Rav Yosi Bev Chanina says. D'Oma Gimel Shvuas Halolu Loma. As a matter of fact, you have three times in Shreshirim where it uses this expression, Hishbaiti Eschem B'Noi Yerushalayim. So what are those three shvuos? Achas shalom yali yisrael b'choyma. One, like we said, the Jewish people shouldn't ascend like a wall, shouldn't go gather together a whole army and invade Eretz Yisrael. But achas shish biach kadosh baruch hu es yisrael shalom yimudu b'omus ha'olam. A second one is that Hashem made the Jewish people swear that we won't rebel against the nations of the world, even in Golos. That the goyim have been made to swear. Gnos Yerushalayim can also mean the goyim in the sense that all of them are going to be coming to Yerushalayim to serve Hashem. Any ones who don't, and like you have in the Torah, the first day Sukkot, are going to be wiped out. So therefore, they can also be called Gnos Yerushalayim. And so the third shvua is that they are being besworn, that they should not subjugate and afflict the Jewish people too much. The word is, in other words, in each of these places, it mentions, don't try to stir up and arouse Hashem's love for the Jewish people until Hashem wants to. So the idea is the first two, means, in other words, don't try to force the issue and you're going to go invade Eretz Yisrael or rebel against the Goyim, and thereby saying we're going to arouse Hashem's love for us and therefore then we're going to force the Geula to come. And the third one is saying, okay, the Goyim shouldn't be afflicting the Jewish people too much, because then Hashem is going to say, you know what, then I can't stand that anymore. I have to show my love for the Jewish people so that they don't get destroyed by the Goyim. So therefore, so that's these three shvuos. This is the famous three shvuos. We know famously, for example, the Elta Satmar Rebbe of Yoel wrote a whole sefer where one of his main points was based on this, that we see that we're not allowed to have a state nowadays in Israel, that would be Yalu B'choyma and Yimudu B'umas Olam, and we're violating that, and you have a whole discussion back and forth. Are these shalosh shvuos even applicable la halacha? That Amram Maslow doesn't bring them in Yad Chazaka. He mentions them in Geras Teman, but he calls them Derech Moshel. So maybe that means that not that Hashem actually literally gathered the Jewish people together at some point and beswore them to these, but rather the Maharal, for example, says it's more like this. This is a teva that Hashem put into the world in order that Golos should be able to accomplish what it's supposed to. So not necessarily is it binding la halacha. There's an argument that's been in the last 100 years or so that's been said that once the Goyim did approve of there being a Jewish state, the British with their Balfour Declaration and the UN with their proclamation, whatever, maybe it's not in effect anymore. Maybe also since we said that one of the shvuos is that the Goyim shouldn't subjugate the Jewish people anymore, they certainly haven't fulfilled their end of the bargain. So lav dafka, are we required to fulfill our end of the bargain? There's a huge literature on it, pro and con. Everybody knows that's one of the big things that you have between those from Jews who are not in favor of the existence of the state of Israel and those who are. So therefore, Sid Abzeda says the bottom line is that there's no source to say that an individual Yid should not be able to go to Eretz Yisrael. Only Shalayala B'choyma. So yeah, if all of us Jews above were to go to Eretz Yisrael, then Rav Zeda says, I agree, that would be a problem. But unless at least if we do it with the permission of the Goyim, Marsha points out at the beginning of the second Mishmikdash, they have the permission of Kodesh. But for an individual like me to go, what's the problem? Rav Yehuda answers, that's true, that you have three psukim and it means those three shvuos. But each one each one of those times when it mentions the shvua, it says if you stir up or if you arouse, implying that each one of them is a double shvua. So you have not three but six shvuos. So therefore, so that includes that individuals shouldn't be moving to Eretz Yisrael from Babel either.
What's the difference between three shvuos and six?
If we say there's three shvuos, then we have the three shvuos that Reb Zeda said. None of them are about individuals moving to Eretz Yisrael. But if you say that it's double, then you can say it means not only the Tzibur shouldn't be moving to Eretz Yisrael, but not even the Yachin. Ver Reb Zeda, no, so that's the thing. So the vote would be, if we say that the Shalosh Shvuos are still in effect, if we say that they're in effect, Lahalocha, and that they're still in effect, then it would mean that, yeah, it would mean that there was no business setting up a state in Eretz Yisrael at all. And you have, there were Goyim Yisrael who held that. You know, like this, you have one of the big problems one of the big problems with the government of Eretz Yisrael, of course, is that unfortunately they're not Shomer Torah or Mitzvahs. But you have opinions, for example, you have Rav Velbel Soloveitchik writes clearly, he says even if Eretz Yisrael was 100% Hapi Torah, even if the Chofetz Chaim was the prime minister or whatever, nevertheless, it's against Halacha to have a state in Eretz Yisrael until Mashiach comes, based on this Gemara over here. And again, you have the counter argument, the various counter arguments that maybe this is not actually La Halacha, and there's actually another point also, the Eitz Chaim says in the Hakdama that these shvuos were in effect only for 1,000 years. Well, 1,000 years are long since over. So therefore, so yeah. No, so according to that, it would mean, in other words, the Eivishter, according to that view, it would be the Eivishter decided that at this point in history, that ever since the Churban, the Goyim are going to be in control of Eretz Yisrael, and it's to remain that way until Mashiach comes. Individual Jews can go and settle there, like Reb Zeira, but to go and create a state over there, to go and then fight against them and create a state, yes, I mean that now. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, so the Gemara continues.
If you use the argument that you're not allowed to have a state, obviously you have to abandon the argument of mass emigration to Israel. It's either one or the other. It cannot be both.
No, I don't see why. You can't have mass immigration there. Right? You can't have Shalayalot HaFoma. And then, in addition, Shalayumidu, almost all of them, they shouldn't rebel and establish a state of their own. So again, a counter argument to that is once the Goyim themselves gave permission in the UN or whatever, then it's not Yumidu anymore. All right, whatever. Like I said, this is a long discussion that we don't really have time for right now, but let's go on. So Reb Zeira answers to that. He says, yes, there are six shavuos, and we need the other three to teach us what Reb Levi says. He says, why are those six shavuos? We said the three shavuos, and they shouldn't go up kachoyma or rebel against the nations, and conversely, that the nations shouldn't oppress us more than appropriate. Enoch, and then the other three are also shavuos. Shalayu galuas akates. Number one, that nobody should reveal the kates of when Mashiach is going to come. Meaning Rashi says, even if there are neviim among the Jewish people, they should not reveal when the kates is. The second one, the second one is they should not make the kets be further distant. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says, first of all, it means that the Yidden shouldn't be doing averus that will cause Mashiach to be further pushed off. Then Rashi, Marshal says another possibility of yirachafuas kets. A person should not, on the other hand, think the kets is so far off, I give up on it. A person should always realize, achakaloi, b'chol yom shiyom. Rashi brings a different girsa, not shalayirachu, but shalayidachu as a ket. They shouldn't be pressuring the kets. They shouldn't be forcing, Rashi says, like to be davening exceptionally so much that Mashiach should come because Hashem decided how long it should be. The Rebbe addressed this, by the way, in a couple of sikhas in the later years and said, you know, the fact is that's talking about when it wasn't time for the Geula, but by now the Geula is long overdue, so therefore this Yadach for Saket no longer applies, and therefore, yeah, we can, by all means, we can be saying we want Mashiach now and all kinds of other things like that. And the third one, the third one is that they shouldn't reveal the secret to Goyim. What secret? Rashi says it can mean the secret of how to calculate the Jewish calendar, Soda Iber. Or the other possibility is it means the soid of the secrets of Torah. So therefore, Reb Zeira says again, so fine, we can go through what all these six shavuos are, but none of them are that individuals shouldn't move to Eretz Yisrael, therefore it's perfectly legitimate for a Yid to leave Babel and move to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what I'm saying. Rashi said two possibilities. The soid is the secret soida iber, the secrets of the details of how the Chacham would figure out when the new moon is visible to be able to interrogate the Edim. Or the other possibility is it means the soid of Tanya Torah, the deeper reasons behind the Torah. So we're not supposed to be revealing those to the Goyim. So when the Rambam wrote it down, he didn't write down every one of the details, but maybe also the Rambam considered again, you know, maybe, for example, maybe the Rambam held like the Eitz Chaim. These things only in effect for 1,000 years. He lived longer than that. He wrote it down in Mishneh Torah. It's now available to him. Okay, onward. So that's the machloekas of Yehuda and Reb Zeira. In the end, in fact, Reb Zeira did leave Babel and move to Eretz Yisrael.
Everything's okay.
Yeah, well, he held that it's okay. Reb Yehuda would have held that it's not. Okay. We mentioned these psukim about the shavuos, and we said that in those psukim it says b'tzva'os oy ba'ilos asadeh, with the deer or with the gazelles of the field. So what does that mean? Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, means Hashem is telling the Jewish people, im atem akayim es ha'shavua, if you keep the shavua, mutav, then good. V'im lav ani matres b'sarchem k'tzva'os oy ba'ilos asadeh, if not, then I'm going to make your flesh available like the deer or like the gazelle, in other words, which are animals that are hunted. So the same way, in other words, Hashem is saying that the goyim chamon al-tzvan are going to be able to, that's the meaning of the tzvois of Eilos HaSadeh. In other words, the idea is, one explanation of it is, that Hashem is saying, if you keep these shavuos, then I will protect you in Golus. But if you don't keep them, then I'll withdraw my protection. And v'derech ha'teva, when Hashem's protection is removed, then unfortunately we have you. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Allah. So that was all digressing because we had this discussion of can you move from Babel to Eretz Yisrael or not. Now, getting back to advantages of living in Eretz Yisrael, we said before that a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael, Doim Kamish Yesh Le'elaka, so now other things on this topic. Amar Rav Elazar, Kol Ador Be'Eretz Yisrael, Shori B'Loi Oved. A person lives in Eretz Yisrael, he's living without Aveiros. Shenema, Uval Yoyma Shochen Chalisi, the neighbors, meaning the neighboring nations around Eretz Yisrael, should not say the reason why I'm sick, Chalisi Meloshim Chola, and saying that it must be because of the Aveiros of the Jewish people who are my neighbors, and Oyla Rosha Oyla Shechenai, because you should realize, Ha'oma Yoshabon, Suoven, the people who live there in Eretz Yisrael have their Aveiros forgiven. Now, what does that mean? Every Yid who lives in Eretz Yisrael is free of Averis. So there's a couple of points about it. The Pnei Yeshua says, first of all, we're talking about somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael because of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Not stand that he lives there lechem period of the Svaya Mitzvah. And he says, the vote is not that such a person can't do Averis, but if he does, the fact that he's in Eretz Yisrael has more of an effect on him that he'll more easily do Tshuva. Then there's a different explanation that says that the vote is, we're talking about Ovoin, means Averis that a person does to a certain extent inadvertently. So Hashem is more willing to forgive his Averis in Eretz Yisrael. But when you talk about the big three, Avodah Zarah, Gilad Ayis, Shechitas Damim, or when we're talking about the Eretz Yisrael as Pshoyim, where they're deliberately rebelling against Hashem, then we're not talking about that. So the Gemara continues, Omale Rav Elo Rav Ashi, Anan B'Soyv Lechaloi Masnin Allah. You should know that we in all yeshiva learn that pasuk Uval Yoyma Shochan Chalisi is not talking specifically about people living in Eretz Yisrael. It's talking about people who suffer from illnesses and saying that they are Nesuei Oven as a result of their illnesses. Hashem forgives their aveins because of the Yisurim they undergo. So not necessarily is the pasuk talking about people who live in Eretz Yisrael. Or maybe it's both. Maybe it's people who live in Eretz Yisrael and have Chaloyim. Another thing, Omer of Onan, Kolak Kover be'Eretz Yisrael kilo Kover tachas haMizbeach. A person is buried in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if he's buried under the Mizbeach, meaning in the place of his kapara. It means it's a very high level. Because we know that Sivach haMizbach Adoma Tasali, the pasuk at the end of Parashat Yisrael says, build me a Mizbeach out of earth. Uchtivas in the Chiper ad Mosei Ama, and you have at the end of Hazinu, his earth will bring a kapara for his people. So we see that the comparison is that when a person is buried in the earth of Eretz Yisrael, it's the equivalent of as if he was buried under the earth of the Mizbeach, meaning he's buried in a place of kapara. And the Gemara gives a story about that. Ula have a rogel that have a solik to Eretz Yisrael. Ula used to regularly travel to Eretz Yisrael from Babel. Noch nafshe b'chutz laretz. Then he passed away at one point on one of his trips in chutz laretz. Also, Omer Leila Rabbi Elazar. So they came and told Rabbi Elazar what happened. Omar, he says, Oyve, Ant Ula, Al Adoma Tmea Tomos. How is it possible that you, Ula, you died on an unclean land? The expression Al Adoma Tmea Tomos is taken from a pasuk in Amos, where it was used as a curse against the Navi Sheker. But the point is, Rabbi Elazar is saying, you, Ula, you worked so much to bring the Torah of Eretz Yisrael to Babel and vice versa. How comes it that now you passed away in the unclean land of Chutz La'aretz? They told Rabbi Elazar, what's the problem? At least they brought his coffin to Eretz Yisrael. He's going to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But Rabbi Elazar says, still, still, you can't compare if he was brought and then absorbed to Eretz Yisrael when he was alive versus after he dies. So therefore, it would have been better. It's a pity that Ula didn't have the schus to die in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Elazar is saying. And the Gemara continues, Hahu Gabra de Nafla le Yavama Bechaiza. There was a man who had a Yavama. His brother had been living in Bechaizoi, which is an area in what's nowadays Iran. The brother died without children. So now there's a Yavama in Bechaizoi, and there's a Yid living in Eretz Yisrael, his brother, who needs to now go there to do Yibum or Chalitza. Also, comes to Rav Chanina to ask the Shaila, Omalei Maula Mechos of the Yadma. Can I move there and do Yibum with her? Amalei, and Rav Chanina tells him, I want to tell you what happened. His brother, meaning your brother, married a goita and died. Now, you're calling her a goita, she's a Jewish woman, but the point is that the fact that he went outside Eretz Yisrael, and the fact that, as we said before, on a certain level, a person who lives outside Eretz Yisrael voluntarily is ke'ilu ein lo'elakah, so therefore he's using the word kusis as a derogatory term, like he shouldn't have even done that in the first place. Umes, and he died without children. Baruch HaMakim Shehorgei, blessed is Hashem who killed him before he had a chance to do more Averis. But who yer in Akrab, and he, meaning you, want to follow him there and do the same thing? Don't do that. Now, there is a Tosfos elsewhere that mentions in Avodah Zarah that says, now the fact is, one of the reasons that a person is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael is in order to get married. However, Rav Chanina is telling him, don't go there where you're going to marry her and remain over there. You want to go over there in order to pick her up and bring her back to Eretz Yisrael, gesunta hate. That's a valid reason to leave Eretz Yisrael temporarily, but not to go and settle over there because you see that your brother died young as a result of that. Which, by the way, in that sicha that I was mentioning before, the Rebbe points out that even if we stay, and again, the Rambam brings the halacha that you can't move from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael or to any other land, there are exceptions up the halacha where you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, Lumad Torah, Lisa Isha. So therefore, according to everybody except Rabbi Yehuda, we would say that those exceptions apply to Bavel as well. So Rabbi Yehuda, for example, doesn't want Rabbi Zera to move to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah there, but the other Chachamim would agree maybe that you can't just leave it willy-nilly, but you could leave it for valid reasons like that. We're talking about individuals, because we said B'choyma would be a different problem. But we're saying even individuals, Rabbi Yehuda didn't want to allow it, because Rabbi Zera was trying to stay away from him, but other Chachamim would say, listen, you know, there are cases when halacha you're allowed to leave out Yisrael, that Amman brings them in Hilchos Malachim over there. So by the same token, the same exceptions would apply as far as leaving Babel.
So Rabbi Zera had a reason.
So Rabbi Zera had a reason. He wanted to go and learn in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the same way as a person can leave Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah on a higher level in Chutz La'aretz. So the same way, yeah. Ikur Shchina is, as we said, Rashi Madura Kama on Or Gemara explains that the Shchina rested in Bavel more than any other place. But again, according to Rashi, it comes out that Issur would be in effect only at that time when the Shchina was resting in Bavel. Not necessarily would it apply in later times when it does not. Whereas according to the Rambam, the Rebbe explains in the Sicha, the vote is, once Hashem determined that Bavel should be the place for the Jewish people's Golos, then they have to remain there till Hashem says otherwise.
Which Hashem did.
By the end of the, that's by Kodesh, yeah, but it didn't mean that every single Jew is going to be going there. So therefore, so now Rabbi Yehuda holds, and then Rambam writes that the Issur is still in effect. For anybody who didn't go at that time.
And we learned that the whoever didn't go back so was punished.
Yeah, but nevertheless, the fact is they did remain, and then still. Marsha, by the way, points out a very interesting thing that connects with this week's parasha. He says, you look at the end of our parasha. You have Terach and his family are leaving Ur Kasdim, and they're going on their way, Lalechas Arzachnah. Now, why are they going? What's their point? Why are they actually going to Eretz Yisrael, the whole place? Later on, Hashem tells Avraham, Lach lecha la'aretz asher ara'eka, and he takes him to Eretz Yisrael. But to begin with, why does Choron, why does Terach and the whole family have a motivation to go to Eretz Yisrael? And Maharsha explains, based on Or Gemara, and even at that time, Bavel was known as a place of Chochma. So therefore, so to go from Bavel to any other country would be inappropriate. But to go to Eretz Yisrael, which is also a place of greater Chochmah, that they felt is the right thing to do. In the event they didn't make it to Eretz Yisrael, they only made it as far as Choron, and then later on Hashem told Avraham, Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha. But even to begin with, they realized this idea that you can't leave a place of Chochmah like Bavel, which it was even in those times. After all, that's where Avraham discovered Hashem, that's where Eretz Nefesh, Hashem also B'choron, and so forth. So you can't just willy-nilly leave that to move to some other country. Terach was not such a tzaddik, but still, he realized that point. Maybe Avraham was guiding him, but whatever, the point is. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara continues. Amr of Yehuda Amr
It's clearer that today there's much more terror in Eretz Yisrael than anywhere else in the world. I mean, there's no discussion about that.
That may well be. And according to that, it would be, you know, listen, we know, for example, why many times people ask the Rebbe why he doesn't go to Eretz Yisrael, why he hasn't moved to Eretz Yisrael. They explain because he's able to have much more of an effect on the world from America. But they asked him, why doesn't he visit Eretz Yisrael? And he said, because after you visit there, it's not so simple, halacha, to leave. So, yeah. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kishem Sha'otsu Lotis Me'Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, just as you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Bavel, Kach also Lotis Me Bavel, Shara Rotis, the same way you're not allowed to leave Bavel and go to other countries. Again, according to Rashi, because Bavel has the advantage that it has yeshivas and abitzis Torah Tamid, yeshivas that are constantly spreading Torah. And according to the Rambam, the way that Rebbe explains it is because Hashem decided that the Jewish people need to be in Bavel until further notice. And the Gemara continues, Rabbi Rab Yosef, the Amitavayu, Afilim Kumpadisila Beikovi. That doesn't apply just from Bavel to other countries. Even from Kumpadisa, which was a place where they had a big yeshiva, to Beikovi, which was a nearby village that did not have as much Torah. And in fact, the Gemara says, Ahu Dinafik Mikumpadisila Beikovi. There was once a person who did that. He moved from Kumpadisa to Beikovi. Shamtei Rab Yosef. And Rab Yosef put him in Chedim for that, because you have no business leaving a Mokum Torah to move someplace else. Even for Parnassah, maybe. I mean, if a person is moving there on Shlichus, let's say, so he's going to make the new place in Makom Torah, that's different. But Sam to move over there in the name. The Gemara continues, another example, how who did not from Pobedissa La Astunia. There was a man who moved from Pobedissa to a place called Astunia, Shochid, and he passed away. Omer Abaya, E boy, Hait Servam, and Abonan, Havachaya. And Abaya says, you should know, if this young Tamat Chacham, which is what this guy was, if he had wanted, he could have stayed alive, because if he had stayed in Pobedissa among the Chachamim over there, then Hashem would have allowed him to live longer. Like this, he moved to Astunia, and what's he doing over there? So Hashem took him away.
What was the reason why he went?
Why? We don't know. But whatever it wasn't a valid enough reason. He wasn't going there on Shlichus. The Gemara continues. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef da'ami tavayu. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef both also say, Ksherin shebebobol out Yisrael peltasan. The Ksherim, the good, the Erlach people, the Tamil Chachamim of Babel, Eretz Yisrael absorbs them. We'll see in a second what that means. Ksherim, Shabashar Eretz is Babel Kaltasim. And the Ksherim, the Erlach Yidden, in other countries, Babel receives them. Babel absorbs them. So the Gemara asks Lamai, what do we mean? Absorbs them in what sense? Ilema le Yuchsin, do we mean as far as Yuchsin, that a Yid from Babel, who is a Miyuchas, is on such a high level that he's even worthy to marry a wife from Eretz Yisrael, and a Jew from a different country may not be of the caliber of marrying a woman from Eretz Yisrael, but at least he can marry a woman from Babel? Can't be. We learn in Kedushin, in the Sugya, there's a Sugya in the fourth parak there about Yuchsin, where it says the other way around, Kol ha'arotzes itzel, Kol ha'arotzes isa le'ot Yisrael. Relative to Eretz Yisrael, all the other lands are considered like an isa, like a dough. That a dough is mixed up of several different ingredients. The point is, in other places outside Eretz Yisrael, in Babel, nobody really knows their Yuchsin. There's been so much mixing, and there might be psula yichus mixed into a person's ancestry, and he doesn't even know it, so therefore they're on a lower level of Yuchsin. The Eretz Yisrael, isa le'Babel, and Eretz Yisrael is like that, relative to Babel, because the Gemara explains here in Kedushin, before Ezra left Babel, he took along all the Psalim with him, and in the later periods after that, the Bate Dinim in Babel made sure that Psalim should not get reintegrated into the Jewish people. They should not get reintegrated as far as marriage. So therefore, the Yuchsin in Babel were known to be purer than the ones in Eretz Yisrael. So what do you mean? We're saying that a Yid from Babel is on a higher level and he's able to marry a woman from Eretz Yisrael. If I care, that would be a downgrade for him, because he's marrying into a family that may have Psalim Yuchsin.
If he took all the psalm with him, so then why would the Yidin who didn't go with him punished?
Because he took all the psalm, the Kshedim could have come as well. By the way, where do you find that the Yidin who didn't go with him were punished? We're saying, for example, as Gemara and Yuma, where we're saying if all of them had come at that time, and they did have Kodesh's permission after all, then the Gula Amitis Vashlema might have come right then. We don't really find that the Yidin who stayed behind in Babel in Ezra's time, we don't really find that were punished, per se.
Well, the Levium, I guess, for.
No, the Levium, because the Levium didn't come because he needed Levium for the dispensation. So it can't mean as far as Yuchsin. Elo le'inin kvura. Rather, we mean as far as burial. A kosher yid from Babel deserves to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, like Hula, like we said before. A kosher yid from a different country deserves to be buried in Babel. The Gemara continues. Amar of Yehuda, kol ador b'Babel ki l'dor b'Eretz Yisrael. A person lives in Babel is as if he was living in Eretz Yisrael. So this goes back to what we said before, what the Me'iri says, that a place where there's Torah and Chochmah is the equivalent of Eretz Yisrael. For these kinds of dinim machter Eretz Yisrael, there's the idea, again, according to the Rebbe's Sicha, that because Babel was set up and was determined by Hashem as the place for the Golos of the Jewish people, therefore, in a certain sense, it can be considered the land that Hashem chose for that purpose, and therefore it has a certain status equivalent to Eretz Yisrael. And we have a posit, Shenema, you have a posit, Hoi Tzion Hi Molti, calling out, Hoy is a lotion of calling out, Tzion, he multi, run away, Yeshevas, Bas Babel, you who live in Babel. So in context, the Pasuk is saying, the Navi is telling them, run away from Babel and move to Eretz Yisrael, but the point before Babel gets destroyed, but the point is that we're using the word Bas Babel, meaning the Jews who live in Babel, and calling them Tzion. So we see that it's considered to a certain extent like Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara continues, Omer Abaye, Naktin and Babel lechaz yechevle de Mashiach. We have the Kabbalah from our Rebbeim that Babel will not see the pains before Mashiach's times, the pains and the troubles that will occur before Mashiach comes. And the Gemara says, Tugma ahutzol de binyan. Specifically, they explain that doesn't mean all of Babel, it means the area within Babel called the Hutzel of Binyamin. In particular, Mephoshim explained that place, the people there had exceptional yichus. Within Babel itself, there were places that had better yichus, and not than the people of Hutzel de Binyamin. Their yichus was known to be particularly pure and free of mamzerim and other problems like that. So they have this extra schus, the korulei counter to Shezavta, and in fact, that place, where at that time, will be called the corner of salvation, because that'll be the one place where Yidden will be safe from Chevle Mashiach. and what that means nowadays when there are no Jews living in there were next to no Jews living in Iraq, basically. Maybe that concept was transferred someplace else. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Elazar, Meisim shebechutz la'aretz einam chayim. The people who died in chutz la'aretz are not going to come alive by kiyas meisim. Now, what do you mean? We're going to talk about that soon. Wait. So, Shenema, the pasuk is v'nasati tzvi be'aretz chayim. Hashem says, I will place tzvi in the land of the living. Which means, tzvi means eretz shetzivyoni ba, the land that my desire is in it, meaning Eretz Yisrael, meisim ha'chayim. The dead in that land will come alive by Tkeis HaMeisim. She'en Sivyoni Ba, the other lands where Hashem doesn't have any special desire for them, and they say Achayim, then their dead will not come alive. But Mosi Rav Abba Bamemel, where Rav Abba Bamemel says, how can you say that? You have another post that says, Yichyu Meisecha, your dead will come alive, Nivei Losi Yikumon, the carcasses will rise up, My love, Yichyu Meisecha, Meisim Shabbat Yisrael, Nivei Losi Yikumon, Meisim Shabbat Yisrael. So perhaps just the double expression, Meisecha and Nivei Losi, refers to the dead of Eretz Yisrael and the dead of Chutz La'aretz. And you would say, Umay v'nasati tzviba eretz chayim. In which case, what's that v'nasati tzviba eretz chayim that we quoted before, which seems to imply that only Eretz Yisrael has tzkeis meisim? You would say that means something else. It means tzvi in the sense of a deer. And Nebuchadnezzar, who dichtiv. The pasuk is referring to Nebuchadnezzar. The Amar Nachmana, my sinner, alayu malka, the kolo kitavya. That pasuk, v'nasati tzviba eretz chayim, is in context of a nevuah against the cities of Tzur and Sidon in Eretz Yisrael, which in those times were a powerful kingdom of their own. So Hashem is saying, I'm going to bring the deer, I'm going to bring Nebuchadnezzar, who's as swift as a deer in his conquest, and he's going to come attack them and destroy them. So nothing to do with Tzchias HaMeisim. So on the face of it, it means that there is Tzchias HaMeisim for the Meisim and Chutz La'aretz as well. So Rabbi Lozen answers, Rebbe, Mikra Achrani Dirch. Yes, but I have another pasuk that I'm darshaning from as well. The pasuk says, Noisin Neshamala Amalei, beginning of that turn of Bereshis, so we just had it, that Hashem says, I give a neshama to the people on it, Beruach L'Hoichem Ba, a spirit to those who walk in it, implying Eretz Yisrael only. So what am I doing with the pasuk Nevei Losi Yikumon, which we say in the double expression, Yichyu Meisecha, Nevei Losi Yikumon, seems to be that the people in Chutz La'aretz will also have Tzchias HaMeisim. No, Hahu B'Nefalim Hudichtiv, that pasuk is talking about stillbirths, babies who were born dead, Rachman Al-Tlan, they will also come alive by Tzchias HaMeisim. They were the Nevei Losi, but not necessarily the ones in Chutz La'aretz. Which, of course, we're going to get to soon. I mean, we're not going to say that they're all goners. We'll get back to that soon. So the Gemara answers, Rav Abba Bamemel, Hai Nosin Neshamala Amalei Amai Ovidlei. What is Rav Abba Bamemel doing with that second pasuk that Rabbi Elazar brought from Yeshaya, Nosin Neshamala Amalei? The answer is, Miboy Lelchid Rav Abba. Rav Abba Bamemel says that we learn from that what Rav Abba said. Do'am Rav Abba, after the Shivcha Knanis from Eretz Yisrael, even a Shivcha Knanis who lives in Eretz Yisrael, who is the lowest of the low, Marashah points out, she doesn't even have the Zchus of Bris Mila, unlike an Eved Knanis. Nevertheless, Muftachloshi Basa Olam Haba. She's guaranteed to have a place in Olam Haba. Ksivach Al Omalel, because here it says the people on it in Eretz Yisrael. Ochtivasim Shvulachampoy Im Hachamer. We have Abraham tells his servants, "You stay here with the donkey," and we know that means Amad Dermelachamer. That Avodim are compared to a donkey for certain things in Halacha. They don't have Yichus, for example. So we're saying that even a donkey-like person, a Shifu Knanis, nevertheless, because she's Aleha, because she's on the land of Eretz Yisrael, therefore she has that space. And therefore, it's a baso in my book. So therefore, Sir Rabbi Bamemel says that's what we learn from that pasuk. Nothing to do with Tzchias HaMeisim in Eretz Yisrael and not in other places. So the Gemara asks. And then when we say Beruach LaHochim Ba, then he says, what do we learn from the second half of the pasuk that Hashem gives a spirit to those who walk in it in Eretz Yisrael? A person who walks even four amas in Eretz Yisrael, then he's guaranteed a place in Olam Haba. Again, when he's walking over there for the sake of the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, not Sam Lachom period, but yeah.
If you're there once visiting
and you're doing it for the purpose of that you want to fulfill the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael and you want to be on the higher level that Eretz Yisrael deserves, then then the person has a ben olam haba for that. So we might ask, what Rabbi Elazar tzaddikim shebechutz la'aretz einam chayim? So what are you telling me? According to Rabbi Elazar, the tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael are not going to come alive by tzchias HaMeisim? And the answer is, Amar Rabbi Ila al yedei gilgul. It means that they're going to roll to Eretz Yisrael, the bones will roll to Eretz Yisrael, and they'll have tzchias HaMeisim over there. So the master for Rabbi Abba, Rab Abba Sala Rabba asks, Gilgal Tzadik and Tsar, what do you mean? That's a painful thing that they actually should have to roll all the way to Eretz Yisrael. How could that be? It means that there will be underground tunnels for them. Now, Rashi explains it means that they will actually get up by Tchias HaMesim, they'll walk on foot through those tunnels and reach Eretz Yisrael, and there they will come out of Eretz Yisrael. There they will come out in Eretz Yisrael. So they're going to be Gashmis to go alive already in Chutz La'aretz, but then they'll come into Eretz Yisrael to have the completeness of their Tchias HaMesim. Or there is a different explanation that it means that the Gemara had asked that it be tzar for their bones to roll along the surface, and the answer is not, they're going to be rolling underground. There is a famous sikha where they never talk about the deeper idea, what's the greatness of Kibrei Tzadikim, for example, the Oihel, is because since we're saying that there's going to be these mechilas that are going to bring their bodies to Eretz Yisrael, then it means that even now they're connected to Eretz Yisrael through those tunnels that eventually will be opened up, and therefore the Oihel and any other kaver of a tzaddik is in a certain sense an extension of Eretz Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore it has the mila of Eretz Yisrael. So in fact...
They won't be the same after they roll through the tunnel. Someone who walks or rolls through a tunnel for a long time is not the same when he comes out of the tunnel that he was before he entered it.
Miracles are miracles. We're talking Tchias HaMesim after all. But maybe that is precisely why Rashi doesn't want to say that the bones roll through the tunnel, but rather that they walk through the tunnel. They get up, they walk through, and then therefore it would be like walking through any other tunnel.
Okay.
So in this connection, let's bring, the Pasuk says, Sasani Mitzrayim of Fartani before us. Yaakov asks Yosef before he passes away, take me out of Mitzrayim and bury me in their burial place, in the Oros Machpelah. Omer Kauna, so Kauna, who was an Amora in the times of Rav and Shmuel, says on that, Yedvorim Begoy. There's more here than meets the eye. There are hidden things over here that we have to pay attention to. Why does Yaakov need that? Now, Rashi mentions on the Pasuk a few reasons why Yaakov wanted it, because the land of Mitzrayim is going to turn into lice, and so the Mitzrayim don't make him an Avodah Zarah, and so forth. Still, that could be accomplished by him being buried in some other country. Why is he dafka telling him to take him to Eretz Yisrael? So, Yedea Hoya Yaakov, when he's a Tzadik Gomer Hoya, Yaakov, after all, knows that he's a Tzadik Gomer, so if he knows that the dead in Chutz La'aretz are going to come alive by Tchias HaMesim, why is he being Matriach his children to carry him down to Israel? Because he figured, Shemelo Yizkel Mechilis, he might not have the schus to have those tunnels. He might not have the schus to go through the tunnels, at least not in the easiest possible way. He might have to go through it in the more difficult way and whatever, maybe, so therefore that's why he wanted them to take him down to Israel.
He's a
Tzadik Gomer, but there's different levels within Tzadik and Gmurim themselves. Maybe he's worthy of one level of it. He's worthy of Tchias HaMesim, but not to the extent where he's going to be able to go through the tunnels completely without Tzar. You have a similar thing. By Yosef is Bnei Yisrael, grammar. Before Yosef passed away, he beswore the Jewish people that when you go out of Mitzrayim, you should take my bones with you. So the same thing, Amar Abchalina, Dvorim Begoy. There's a hidden matter in here. Why did Yosef demand that? Yodeahoya Yosef Ba'atma Shatadik Gomer. Yosef knew about himself that he was a Tzadik Gomer. So if he knows that the dead in Eretz Yisrael are going to come alive, why does he matriach his brothers to carry his descendants rather, to carry his bones 400 parsa? Because again, Shemelo Yizkel Mechilas, he might not have the schus for the Mechilas. So again, not that he might not have the Mechilas at all, but in other words, we're saying that, so Maushar explains, in other words, sure, he's going to have the Mechilas, but still, we said that, so in other words, that even the Tzadikim and Chutz La'aretz are going to have to undergo Gilgul Mechilas, unless there's tremendous schusim to the contrary, and Yosef and Yaakov and Yosef were concerned they may not be worthy of that level of it. They're going to have Tchias HaMesim, but they're still going to have the tsar of going through the Mechilas, and like you said, Avraham Moshe, they're not going to come out the other end the same as they were.
Yeah, the bottom line is Gomorrah.
The bottom line is the real, the house
felt that that's worthy.
Right, yeah. Okay. The Gemara continues. Shokholei Achuhi L'Rabba. Rabba's brothers, who were living in Eretz Yisrael, Rabba himself was living in Pumbedissa, he had brothers in Eretz Yisrael, they sent him a message. First of all, they sent him this message. In other words, they were hinting to him that you should leave Babel and move to Eretz Yisrael to join us. Because you see that even Yaakov was concerned about that. And the Gemara says, Ilfa Moisif Badvarim, Ilfa add that they sent, that Rabba's brothers sent him other points in their letter as well. They didn't just say that, they said some other things as well. It happened that a man was in love with a certain woman, so he was thinking to leave out Israel in order to marry her. Mitzah means he was in trouble, but it means, she was living in Chutzlard, and he put his eyes on her, and like now he's in love with her. How he found out about her in the first place, maybe she visited out Israel, maybe saw a picture, who knows, anyway. When he heard about that, about the importance of staying in Eretz Yisrael, then he just managed with himself until he died. He never was able to fulfill what he wanted, to marry this girl, but he kept on living in Eretz Yisrael and suffering that unfulfilled love rather than leave to go to Chutz Laaretz. Marsha points out, you know, we said before, Gilgul Mechilas. He didn't want Gilgul Mechilas, therefore Gilgul Ba'atzma. Instead, he said, I'll undergo Yisurim right now and not marry her rather than have to eventually undergo Gilgul Mechilas. So again, Rabba's brothers are telling him, in that case, you belong in Eretz Yisrael. You don't belong staying in Babel. And they continue to him, even though you are a great Talmud Chacham in your own right, so you're going to say, why do I need to go to Eretz Yisrael? What am I going to accomplish? The fact is, you can't compare somebody who learns on his own to somebody who learns from his Rebbe. You'll be on a much higher level. You're going to say, what do you mean? I don't have anybody in Eretz Yisrael who is the caliber of being my Rebbe. They tell him, yes, Lecharav, as a matter of fact, you do. Umanu, Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan is here now, it's Israel. He's of the caliber you can learn still from him. And in fact, there is a Gemara that either in Yevamos or earlier in Amasechta, I don't remember, I think it's in Yevamos, which implies that in fact Rabba did in fact do that and came and learned by Rabbi Yechanan for a while.
The Gemara doesn't say,
tell us that. Yeah. And they continue to him, being Einata Oila. Now, if you're not going to come to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to stay in Babel, then at least he zohar b'shloish advarim. Be careful with the following three pieces of advice. Meaning, if you come to Eretz Yisrael, the schus of Eretz Yisrael will protect you against these effects. But if you're going to stay in Babel, then you need to be careful about that. Al tarib yeshiva. They tell him, don't sit too much. She yeshiva, kosher l'tachtoni. Sitting too much is bad. It gives a person hemorrhoids. On the other hand, don't stand too much. Standing too much is bad for your heart. And don't walk too much. Because too much walking is bad for your eyes. So you should divide it. One third of the time you're sitting, one third standing, one third walking. And one more piece of advice. They tell him, call yeshiva, she'enim asmicha, if you're sitting and not leaning on something, like you're sitting on a bench with no back or something, amida noicha hemena, then standing is better than that. What do you mean? Amida safadayim. Amida kosher loev. You just said that standing is bad for the heart. How can sitting on a backless bench be worse for you than that? Ella, what he means is yeshiva, she'en basmicha, amida she'esh basmicha noicha hemena. If you have a choice between a place where you can sit on a bench with no back, for example, versus a place where you can stand and lean against something, then the standing and leaning against something is better for you. And they continued in their letter, V'chein Omru, they also said in the letter,
Medically,
why is also a person sits on a backless bench, then it's bad for their back. I don't know. Yeah.
No, I mean, medically, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we know now, and we have proofs that standing is much better than sitting for the heart.
Maybe, but not in extremes, first of all, not in extremes. Second of all, we are saying okay, maybe not in extremes. We're saying fine, a certain amount of the time, one third of the time, fine. But anyway, nishtanu atid, we often say that people's natures are different now than they were then. Anyway, v'chein amru, then Rabba's brothers continue in their letter. They also said, Yitzchak v'shimen v'oshia amru davar echad, halacha could be heard of brothers. You should know that three chachamim here in Eretz Yisrael, their names are Yitzchak, Shimon, and Eshaya, and the Gemara is going to identify them soon. They all said one thing, that the halacha is like a Yehuda regarding mules. In other words, the vote would be that Rabba had asked them, who said the halacha is like a Yehuda and mules, as far as a matter of mules, that we're going to explain now what we're talking about, and they answered him in their letter. He was the answer to your question. What is this? The Tanya of Yehuda, Pirda Shetava. If a mule is in heat and wants to be breeded, and wants to be bred, now, mules are usually sterile, so they're usually not going to be in the mood to have to mate anyway. But suppose you have mules as a hybrid of a horse and a donkey. Usually they're sterile. Usually they don't have the desire to mate with another animal.
But you mate with the mate don't.
So that's the thing. So now suppose that a female mule is in heat and you want to be able to breed her with another animal. The problem is Kalayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein ma bien alay alay sus v'lechamer. You cannot breed her with a horse or with a donkey, because the mule is, after all, part horse and part donkey. So you have a problem with Kalayim. You have the whole question of whether Chosh and Lazer Ahav, do we take into consideration the father's contribution to the baby, or only the mother's? If we said only the mother's, then we would say, for example, that whatever her mother is what species you can mate her with. But if you say you have to be concerned for Zer Ahav as well, then you can't do either one. Elamina, the only one you could do is another mule, and you can breed her with another mule. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that, and they're telling him, you should know that three chachamim here in Eretz Yisrael said the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, who are these three chachamim? Amram Nachman Yitzchak. Yitzchak Zerab Yitzchak Nafa. When they're speaking of Yitzchak, they mean Rabbi Yitzchak Nafa. Shimon Zerab Shimon and Pazi, the Amilo Rishlokish. The Shimon they meant Rabbi Shimon and Pazi, or some say they meant Rishlokish. Oshia Zerab Oshia Berevi, and the Oshia they're speaking of is Rabbi Oshia Berevi. So that was all the letter that they sent to Rambah, telling him, urging him to move to Eretz Yisrael. And again, like we said before, there is a Gemara elsewhere that implies that in the end he did do that and went to Eretz Yisrael and learned by Rabbi Yehuda for a while. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda as far as this matter of a mule, that if a female mule is in heat, then you can only mate it with another mule. Okay, continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Elazar, really, we should really, really, it's late and we should be stopping, but nobody's here yet anyway, so we might as well take advantage of it. Rabbi Elazar says that the Ami Ha'aretz are not going to come alive by Tchias Mesa. Now the Gemara is going to say soon, Rabbi Yechanan says, don't talk that way about Yidden. But even Rabbi Elazar, the Meiri explains, he doesn't mean they're not going to come alive at all. It means that when they come alive, the experience they're going to be having in the Moshe Mashiach is nothing compared to the experience of the Tzaddikim, which is far greater. Relative to that, they can barely consider themselves alive. But physically, yes, they will be alive, but even Rabbi Elazar agrees they will be alive by Tchias Mesa. So Shanema, the Pasuk says, Meisim Bal Yichyu V'Bremer, the Pasuk says the dead will not live, and the Pasuk continues, Refoim Bal Yichum. So Gemara Darshins, Tani Nami Yichli, we learn similarly in Braisa, when it says Meisim Bal Yichyu, when it says the dead will not live, Yochol Lakol, maybe that means there's no Tchias HaMeisim at all. No, Tamalayim, Refoim Bal Yichumu, the next words in the Pasuk are, the Refoim will not stand up, and what is Refoim? V'merapa Asmi, V'divrei Torah, Kosim Adabra. The Pasuk is speaking about people who weaken themselves, who slacken themselves from learning Torah, so the Pasuk is saying that they will not get up, by Tchias HaMeisim. But Omalei Rav Yechanan, but Rav Yechanan says to Rav Elazar, Loi nicha l'marayu da'amet l'hu hachi, Hashem does not like when you speak about his people that way. These people may be Amei Oretz, but they're forth your fellow Yidden, and you can't talk about them like that. That pasuk referring by Yakumu is referring to people who slacken off from Yiddishkeit and worship Avodah Zarah. They're the ones who are going to be Bal Yakumu, but not Ami Haaretz. Omer LeEsar, Rabbi Elazar says, Mikra Acha Ani Dordish. Sure, but we have another pasuk that we can darshan. Dichtiv, the same pasuk continues. It's actually the same pasuk. It's actually a few pasukim later. Ki Tal Oris Talecha. No, it is. It's the end of the same pasuk. The end of the same pasuk continues, Ki tal oretz talacha, you do, Hashem, is the dew of light, va'oretz refoyim tafil, and you will knock down the refoyim to the ground, which means, what's this oretz? Kol mishtamish ba'or Torah, a person who uses the light of Torah and learns Torah, or Torah v'chayehu, the light of Torah will keep him alive, will bring him alive, but it's amazing. V'chol she'en mishtamish ba'or Torah, ein Torah, ein or Torah v'chayehu. If not, then the light of Torah will not bring him alive. So the Amei Oretz are not using the light of Torah, says Rabbi Elazar, how can they have Tchias HaMeisim? Or as an Eri says, how can they have a higher level Tchias HaMeisim? But the Gemara continues, Kivin de Chazia to come Tzair, he saw that Rabbi Yochanan was still very pained by this, that you should say that Amei Oretz will not have the full experience of Tchias HaMeisim. Amalei says, Rebbe Matzosi Lehen Takana, you know what, after all, I found a way of fixing up the Amei Oretz, Minat Torah. From the Torah itself, I can find an out for the Amei Oretz. We say in the Pasuk, Ba'atam Advekim Hashem Alekechem Chayim Kochem Ayoim, you who connect with Hashem Alekechem, you're all together alive today, which means Tchias HaMeisim, V'chiyashu L'debuki B'shchina, now how can you connect to the Shechina, Ba'aksiv Ki Hashem Alekecha Esha, if it doesn't say that Hashem is a consuming fire, Ela Kol HaMasi Bitav Tamen Chacham, even in Amei Oretz, if he marries off his daughter to a Tamen Chacham, Ba'oisa Prat Matav Tamen Chacham, and he does business with Tamen Chachamim, meaning Rashi says he invests money of Tamen Chachamim in order that he does business with it in order to earn a profit, which he will then give to the Tamei Chachamim, by Mahana Tamei Chachamim in Nechasev, and he allows Tamei Chachamim to enjoy his Nechasim, Ma'al Allah Bechasev, Kila Medalik B'Shechina. Then Hashem counts it as if he connected to the Shechina, therefore, after all, he will be Zoichet Tzias HaMeisim. And the Gemara finishes off, and in the same sense, the same way you have another pasuk that talks about cleaving to Hashem, same thing. So therefore, even the Amei Oretz have a way of doing that. They can do that, even if they themselves can't learn Torah. They can connect to the Menachah Chachamim, and through that, they will be zochet to the full experience of Tzias and Nesim. Shkoyach, everyone.